Good evening, James McKenney with My Science Hour. It's for February 4th, 2021, and some interesting topics tonight. I will be talking about the new line of wind generators, something that here's the situation. I have stopped promoting any type of, understanding of what's going on in the world today, whether it be political or medical or, you name it, all of the other complete insanity. And so I'm, if you have not determined your own role in life, et cetera, I'm not going to help try and direct people, so to speak. And so anyway, I'm just, what I've done is I spent decades creating a product line that's very essential. And so I want to describe the what I call the multi-blade systems. You all know about the wing generator, industrial grade equipment, etc. But the wing generator equipment is fairly expensive, and that's okay, because people who want the best quality, they will pay for it. But if you're in a good wind area, and there are some very good wind areas, then the multi-blade solution might be okay. Now, this is for basically off-grid only, but the size of units available, 1 kilowatt, 2 kilowatts, 5 kilowatts, 10 kilowatts, and 20 kilowatts. And so within that range, pretty much anybody that has a remote situation, a farm, ranch, etc., would find a unit that would provide probably pretty much all of your energy. And as I say, these are off-grid, so this would be an independent connection for your, it could be for your house or for your operation or, say, a barn or whatever. And so say you have grid power and you want a backup. Or you want to, say, run off of independent energy and you have grid as your backup, grid power, then you put in what is called a transfer switch. It's a switch that cannot have both of them connected at the same time. A typical switch, you go from one side to the other, but there's the remote possibility in a switch like that, if it's shorted out, that both could be connected at the same time, which would not be a good thing. So there's a special switch. It's called a transfer switch, and it could be automatic or it could be manual. And I'll get into that in a minute, a little bit of specifics there on transfer switches, automatic versus manual. But basically, you'll have one system connected or the other, either the wind system connected or your grid power, or you could have, for example, a backup generator as your main source of power, and then the wind power is your secondary or vice versa. Your wind power is primary and your generator, like an LP or diesel generator, is your secondary. And you could also have it connected so you have one of the three. You could have, there's a lot of different combinations here. So you could have just wind, and the issue there with batteries, with the off-grid situation, the situation there is if your batteries are low and there's no wind, you're not going to have any power. And so for a relatively small amount of extra money, you can have, I recommend LP, but some people like diesel because they're just used to working with it, but liquid propane I like better because, say, you can get a 1,000-gallon propane tank, which will last a long time. You can use that propane for other things like heating your house or cabin or whatever, and for lighting, for example, or for cooking on a stove, a gas stove, or even for a refrigerator. There are gas propane refrigerators on the market and dual gas propane, or they can switch between electric and gas. So those are very nice. And so what I am describing here is a true off-grid system. And I'll tell you something. I have worked with these, I've lived with systems like this for decades. And so it's something I happen to know quite a bit about from experience. And so at any rate, my product line of multi-blade generators is from the wind. It's a complete line. You can have, I also sell the backup LP and diesel generators and the transfer switches. Now, let me talk a little bit about transfer switches. A transfer switch is a switch that has multiple movements in it. In other words, you can't, it's not just switch from A to B. There's a intermediate step that's nothing. It's neither. And you have to go through that step to get from one to the other. So there's never any chance that you could have both of them connected at the same time. And there's a very good reason for this. First of all, they would conflict. They would not work together, and they would cause some sparks, which you don't want, whether it's a home system with backup or whether you're connected to the grid. And, of course, the fear with the grid is that you would be providing electrical power to the grid system, say the grid went down, and say you were generating power at your home generating plant, and all of a sudden this got on the grid. Well, you could have workers out there who think that they're working on a dead line, that and you would be putting electricity on that line and endanger the workers. So at any rate, there's many, many reasons, and the same with your own home situation. You need a transfer switch. It's not just a switch. It's a special switch that does not allow both things to operate at the same time. And now there are automatic transfer switches, and here's what they do. Say you have grid power, and as a backup, you have a wind system. The automatic transfer switch, as if the grid goes down, then it'll switch over to your backup wind system, or you could have it vice versa, where you could have the wind system as your primary. That runs your house, etc. And if the batteries get low and there's no wind, and the system shuts off to protect the batteries, which it'll do, then the automatic transfer switch says, oh, I'm not getting any power over here. I'm going to switch over to the grid. And so it's an automatic thing. You don't have to be there. It happens automatically. So your refrigerator will keep operating, etc. And you can also have these set up where you have, say, a generator, a liquid propane generator, and say that's your backup. So you have your wind system running. It's powering your house. It's an off-grid system. And say the batteries get low, there's no wind going on, and your system shuts off, stops producing electricity as a protection to the batteries. It's not going to let the batteries get drained too far. And so when that happens, then the automatic transfer switch says, I'm not getting any power from over here. I'm going to switch over to the LP generator backup or to the grid. Or you could have it set up so you could have all three of them available. Okay, so anyway, this is the basic setup. And the reason I'm talking about this is because I just think that the average person out there should be prepared to be off the grid, especially if you're in the country. This is not for people who live in the city. The reason is that zoning would be prohibitive. It would not allow you to have something on your house that, especially the larger ones, that would produce enough energy to run your house. So if you're living in a city, you're pretty much stuck at this point with grid power. But the people who are living in the country, and here's the thing, more and more people are moving to the country. They're tired of the cities, all the politics, the huge expense for just, say, a water bill sometimes can run as much as your electric and gas bill combined. I mean, it's crazy what's going on. Plus, you're getting polluted water, etc. So a lot of people are moving to the country just saying, forget about it. The schools are closed. Kids can't go to school. And the food shelves are becoming, food is becoming more scarce. The planned food shortage is underway. So if you haven't heard about that, well, I got news for you. you're already seeing the price of food products going up. And I'll tell you something also, you don't know where that food is coming from. A lot of meat now is being imported because the farms and the ranchers have too many things happen to them, so they cannot get their products to market, and too many things like that going on. So people are just going, you know, they're going to move to the country, they're going to maybe buy an existing house, and I'm going to talk about that just a little bit here, or they might build a new house, something small. But if you're no matter whether you're going to build a house or if you're going to buy one that's already existing, and that you want to be off the grid, I'll tell you something, you have to modernize the house if it's existing, even if it's a modern house, because they're not built energy efficient or ecologically sound. The one thing you would want to do is put in geothermal heating and cooling. That's one of your biggest sources of energy usage, is in heating and cooling your house, heating it in the winter, cooling it in the summer. With geothermal heating, then all you're running are the pumps, etc. And if you build a new house, you can build it so that it's passive. In other words, you have the heating in the floor. You don't have pumps and fans running. And so that saves a lot of electricity too. So anyway, these are things that you would do. You would also not heat water with electricity. You're not going to heat your house with electricity. You're not going to, you might have applications where you have to run electricity, like say three-phase pumps or well pumps, but well pumps don't take a lot of energy. That's one thing that you will find. If you have a ranch where you're doing, say, irrigation, now you've got big pumps that are running and you have to have an electrical system that will accommodate that. And so the end result is that if you're looking for a place in the country, if you're looking to build something new, that's great, but make sure you make an ecologically, there's many, many things you can do. LED lighting, you can even buy lighting that takes light from outside and a reflector and puts it into a fiber optic cable and then brings it into a room and illuminates the room. So it's like having daylight inside of a room. And that's completely passive. There's no electricity involved there at all. But minimally, LED lighting, you would absolutely want LED lighting, not the old incandescent. In fact, I don't know if you can even buy incandescent light bulbs anymore. But you would absolutely want to make sure if you have an existing home that the lighting will accommodate LED lighting or fluorescent lighting. There's also low energy because you want to reduce your electrical footprint, because every kilowatt hour of electricity that you use, you're going to have to build into your electrical wind system. And I'll just make a brief comment. Some people might think, well, I could get solar. Solar doesn't work. Solar is a marketing gimmick to make people think if they put some solar panels on their house, they'll be green. You know, that's just, it's an illusion. To create the amount of electricity with solar panels and then store it in batteries, that's the big issue with solar, is that, hey, you're only going to get a couple solar hours of sunlight out of those solar panels per day. A solar hour is the equivalent as if that solar panel were collecting energy at 100% capacity for 1 hour. But what happens when the sun's coming up? There's not much going on. When the sun's directly overhead, you might have clouds, it might be raining. Solar panel activity goes almost to zero if there's clouds or intermittent clouds. And so on the average in, say, Phoenix, Arizona, for a solar panel is about 4 solar hours per day. That's the equivalent of that solar panel running at 100% for 4 hours. That's Phoenix, Arizona. If you're in Denver, Colorado, then you're going to get about 2.5 solar hours per day on average. And if you live in Canada, you're going to be getting about 1 solar hour per day. Oh, this is over the course of a year. You might have some days where you, nice sunny summer days, sure, you're going to get more output, but then balance that with that winter cloudy day where you're getting nothing, and many, many of those, and you're going to be getting about 1 solar hour per day for that panel. And just imagine that the wind is blowing all day, all night. In the middle of the night when the sun is not shining, you're getting wind energy and you're storing it up in batteries. And then a well-balanced system, you should be getting about 95% of your energy over the course of the year from the wind. And that's the goal. If you live in an area where there is no wind, I have an expression, we sell wind energy products, we don't sell wind. And so if you don't have a good windy area, then there is an option. It's the wing generators with an oversized wing that'll produce energy at the low wind speeds. The multi-blades, which I'm talking about now, will not work well in a low wind area. But so I'm talking to mainly people who live in a good wind area and would like to get off the grid. And so anyway, I'll just try and keep this brief. But here's the thing. You need food, and that's why I have the grow towers. You need water filtration. I don't care where you live. The groundwater is extremely polluted with glyphosates, runoff from Roundup, and crops, etc. And you can have arsenic in the well water that's natural. That you have to take out. And so a water filtration system is important. And then also batteries. So the whole issue with batteries is that now in the United States, you cannot get batteries. I can get batteries because of my connections. And so a typical wind system, you might have 30 to 40 batteries. And these are not your average car battery. These are big, deep cycle matte gel batteries, which typically, if you could find one in the United States, it would run you about $500 to $600, minimal, probably more, if you could find it. And so anyway, that's the type of battery that I provide with my systems, something that you cannot even find in the United States. So I've got a product line that if you went out and tried to find it someplace, first of all, you couldn't find it. Second of all, you couldn't find the batteries to supply it. And third, you would not be able to buy the other products along with this, the grow towers, the water filtration, or say the education package. Let me talk a little bit about pricing, because that's one of the first thing that pops into people's heads when they think about pricing. And what I don't do is I don't list prices either on the air or in my webpage. The reason for that is because it could be rather deceptive, because there are other expenses that you have to have. For example, for an installation, which, by the way, these are set so that the person can install them. And that's something that most people that have a farm or a ranch, they're used to working around big equipment, tractors and other equipment. And, you know, they're used to managing things on this scale. And so it's something that the average person on a farm or ranch could install. And that's why I go up to these certain size ranges. And I can also produce really large systems. Those are available too, but the average person getting up to 25 kilowatts or something like that is going to be plenty of power for what their needs are. The other thing is that when I sit down to spec out a system, everyone is different. Believe me, I've been doing this for a long time. I've yet to have two that are the same. So these are custom orders. But let me also talk about the turnaround time and how the sale comes about. All of the products are prepaid. In other words, I send out a quote, and then with information, that quote is usually good for 7 days. And that's because prices can change. Typically, the prices don't change, but the one thing that can change is shipping. And that has been a volatile market for since the COVID thing began. Prior to that, shipping stayed the same for years and years at a time. But since the COVID thing started, the shipping companies have gone crazy, thinking that they have a monopoly because, well, in a sense, they do. They have people cornered. Things have to be shipped now to be to locations. But at any rate, the typical lead time, now this is for the multi-blade systems that are, I call them home quality electronics, etc. They're still good. They're built for 20-year lifetime. And they typically last a lot longer than that. But the lead time after full payment is around 2 months. It could be 2.5 months, depending on where you live. And a good portion of that is shipping and getting the systems together. Because like I say, your system is going to be, it's not like we have this stuff sitting in a warehouse ready to be shipped to your door. Because there are so many variations. There are literally hundreds of variations. So what happens is that after you pay, the assembly of your system begins. And some of the LP generators, some of the bigger ones, can be 4 to 6 months lead time. And that's why people, it's not like you're going to drive into, say, a car lot and they've got so many cars sitting there and you pick one and drive away the next day. It's not like that. In the energy business, I'll tell you, I for example, represent Generac and Duramax generators and dual fuel generators and quite a few other lines of diesel generators. And in the energy industry, standard procedure is 100% payment up front. And then some of these can be 4 to 6 months lead time. And some of them can be out the door like within a week, because some of the smaller units are in stock. And I also encourage people not only to get a permanent, like say you get a Generac generator, you have your wind system, these are your main power sources at your house, and they run off, the generator runs off LP. I also encourage people to get what is called a portable generator. This is a generator. It might go up to, it could be small, or it could be larger, up to 10, up to 15 kilowatts, that what they call dual fuel. In other words, those are gasoline or LP, but it's the kind that have the wheels on it, and you can pull this around. And so what you're doing there is you have a unit which you can put in the back of your pickup truck, you can take out to the site. Say you're putting in fence posts, or you're cutting wire, or you're building fences, or you're doing some work, maybe some work out in the back 40 or something like that, or if you have a little hobby farm, you need portable power. And so, and then also if the lights really go out or something like that, you have another backup power system. And so it's very important to have portable power if you have like a ranch or a farm system. And so I always encourage people, in fact, I really kind of almost require it, for under $1,000, you can get another portable generator that is, for $1,000, you can get a 10-kilowatt portable generator. And the prices go down or up from there. But that just gives you a ballpark of how much it's going to cost. And I'm a dealer for all of these different types of units. And so when I spec out a system for somebody, I say, this is what you're going to need. And if the people come back and say, well, you know, we don't have enough money right now, I tell them, okay, I'm not going to sell you a partial system. And there's no such thing as building something little and then adding on. And so the end result is that if people just don't have enough money right now, I tell them, okay, go save your money. When you get enough money, come back, and then we'll do business. Because, you know, and the other thing is some people might just want, and I've had this happen, where they've got a full house out in the country, they've got grid power and everything like that, but they only want a 2-kilowatt generator just to keep the lights going in the refrigerator in case there's a power outage. They know it's not going to run the air conditioning. It's not going to run the you know, other things. If they have, say, propane heating, one nice thing to have running would be the fan on your furnace, and so that you have that kind of power. So that's what I mean. Your furnace might be a totally different fan rating than somebody else's. That's why we have to look at everybody in particular. And so there's a questionnaire on my webpage that you fill out, and that questionnaire then details all of the different things, and we'll go back and forth a few times. And all of this is done in writing, by the way. Some people want to call up and chit-chat about their system and things like that. Well, that's fine just to get a kind of a general idea of what's going on. But when it comes down to writing down data and hard information, it's going to be electronic. So you need an email account. You need a bank account from the landowner that is capable of wire. Any checking account, you can go into the bank and do a wire. And so that's how the payment form is. It's not credit card. It's not by PayPal, or it's not by any other means. It's by bank wire. That's the only form of payment. And so anyway, these are just some of the guiding rules of setting up a system. But what happens after you make that payment is a lot goes on. Getting the systems, the different components put together, and deliveries. Some things will be delivered individually to stop that, to prevent this double shipment. If it's not delivered to me and then to you, I have it delivered directly to you to save double shipping. And so you need a place where all this stuff can be delivered to. If it's a bigger wind system, then you need a place where a semi-trailer can pull in. If it's a smaller system, a 1, 2, or a 5 kilowatt, then you just have like a delivery truck comes and drops off a bunch of crates at your house. And then it's fairly straightforward to install these. The bigger systems, the 10 and the 20, 25 kilowatt systems, yeah, they're a little bit bigger, but if you're on a farm or a ranch, you're used to working with equipment on that size range. So anyway, those are some of the ground rules. But it's really beneficial for people to become power independent, especially if you're on a farm or a ranch, and if people are moving to the country. My advice is plan ahead, because it's going to be a number of months for you to get a system. If you're getting a 1 or a 2 kilowatt system, I can air freight those to you, and from the production time and everything, maybe 3 weeks you could have it at your place. And so, and that's an option too, is people get that. They say, boy, I just want something. In case the lights really go out, I want something quick, and then we'll plan the big system later. That's a viable option. It's always good to have. Here's the rule with alternative energy. Now, if you have a piece of paper or you have a way of making a mental note, the rule when you're dealing with alternative energy, the more options you have, the better off you will be. Once again, the more options you have, the better off you will be. And so that would be a recommendation too for somebody. Say you have a farm or a ranch and you want to get the big system, but that's going to take you 3 to 4 months to get it after you make the payment, and 3 to 4 months to get the equipment there, another month or so to really get it installed properly and up and working. Because you got to uncrate everything. It's going to take you a little while, plus you're busy doing other things. You know, so maybe get that 2-kilowatt unit in there, in 3 weeks, get that up in a day, have that running, and then you have your minimal system that's operational. And then you order the big system, and that's going to be 3 to 4 months out. And at least you've got a safety net there in case the lights really go out. Okay, so this is just some planning, some thought planning, etc. And once again, if you're going to have strictly a wind system, there will be times when you're going to be without power. And I'm not going to lie to you, that's just the way it is. And how much time, it depends on your wind. If you have a good wind area, you may not be without power ever. For example, if you're in an island, or if you're in one of those windy areas of Oklahoma or Nevada or the American Southwest where the wind is just blowing all the time, you might not ever be without power with just a wind system, but it's always good to have that generator LP or diesel backup so that those times when things do go out, you're not losing a refrigerator or a freezer full of meat. You know, you don't want that too, because that can be expensive. Plus, you've got your stored foods that might be going bad. So what's that worth to you? So at any rate, being off-grid, once again, very simply, the more options you have, the better off you will be. And grid power, what about grid power? Well, if it's there, use it. That's my recommendation. But if it goes out, it goes out. And talk to the people in New York City, talk to the people in California. You know, a year ago, they would have told you that they've always had good electrical power. Here's what's going on. I'll give you a clue about what's going on in the energy industry nationwide in the United States and international too. The electric power companies are collapsing. They have not been maintaining their infrastructure. They've been investing in three-blade wind turbines that don't work, and they don't provide them with a return on investment. And the problem with the power company is that they also invested in nuclear power, which now is at the end of its life cycle. They can't shut them down because to decommission a nuclear power plant, we're talking maybe $500 million. They don't have the money. They don't have the money to decommission the plant. They don't have the money to upgrade the plant or improve the plant or bring it up to standards. So the Nuclear Regulatory Commission keeps rubber stamping extensions, and these things are leaking. It's a giant mess. But economically, the power companies are failing. They are all on skid row. And so the issue is within coming years, and especially with other financial things going on or with, say, with COVID, they're not able to get replacement parts. And so their infrastructure is failing, and the people are probably, you know, as I could go on and on. But the central power companies are failing, and they're going to start failing big a time sooner. I don't know if that's a foreign language or not. Big a time sooner gonna fail the central power company, son, daughter, etc. So you want your independent power. So anyway, that's what I do. And like I say, if you went to find this equipment someplace else, they would stare at you with a blank stare, because they could not get this equipment. I was just speccing out a system here that has 60 big deep cycle batteries. These are 200 amp deep cycle batteries. I can get these. If you went out to any other place, Batteries R Us or whatever, and you told them you wanted 60 200 amp hour deep cycle batteries, gel batteries, they would look at you with a blank stare. They even though they would love to sell them to you, they couldn't get them. So anyway, all I'm telling you is that I have products that you will not find anyplace else. I have pricing that you will not find anyplace else. I have availability that you will not find anyplace else. And so anyway, I'm spending this show talking about this, and some people are going, well, I want to learn about space science on your show. I'll tell you something, folks, and I'll be very honest with you. If you live in a city, I don't tell people what to do, but I would think strongly about finding myself a nice little place out in the country. Keep your big city house, keep it as long as you can, but take some cash that you've set aside, buy a piece of property that's nearby or out in the country or out near some national forest area or something like that. That's always a good thing to do. Buy land that backs up to some bigger, say, general piece of property like national forest, etc. And then state parks and national parks are not good to be next to because they're very restricted. But state land, just forests and areas like that, and nature reserves are good things to back up against because that land is in a sense available to you, the public, too. You can go on there without permits or buying a daily license, all of that stuff. And especially with COVID, a lot of the personnel from these national and state agencies, they're getting thinned out, too. So that's always a good thing when you're buying land. Or if you're buying a little cabin out in the country, and buy a place, just get something that you can afford and pay cash for. So let's imagine that somebody has a little cabin, it uses wood heat, you want to get a refrigerator, and you want to make it into something that the family could go to in emergency. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you this, folks, grandmas and grandpas and boys and girls and mom and dad, that might be the best game in town at some point. And so you want to electrify that place to have, say, a refrigerator, and so you can keep food there. And say it's wood heat, you got a airtight wood stove in the corner to heat the place, and you want to provide some electricity. The minimal thing that you could start with, and this is a good option, is a little generator, what you would call a portable generator, and that plugs into an electrical system that you put into the house with lighting and, say, a refrigerator running on 120 coming off this generator. And then you put in some batteries and an inverter. And so when the generator is running, the inverter is charging the batteries. So you then when the batteries are charged, you go off and you just turn off the generator, the LP generator, and then you get yourself a 500 or 1,000-gallon propane tank, and then maybe you put in a passive propane heater in the cabin. The passive propane heater does not need a fan or does not need electricity. So you could even run that in the wintertime with no electricity, but using the propane. And that would be a system. And then you could put up like a 1,000-watt, a 1-kilowatt wind generator. And then that would probably provide you with enough energy for your little cabin. So that'd be a small system. But you could even start without the wind system by just having the portable generator, the inverter, and the batteries there. So anyway, that's an option. At any rate, that, and then it goes all the way up to somebody's got a big house out in the country, and they've got a freezer, two freezers full of, wild game and, say, a quarter of beef in there and all that. You want to keep that freezer operating, say, on a hot summer day. How much energy is that thing going to draw? Well, then the other thing you do, you do smart things. You insulate that freezer all the way around with styrofoam so that it's not, that the hot summer day is not, costing you a lot of money to maintain your freezer. So this is what I'm talking about. You have to do things smart. When you're using alternative energy, you have to be ecologically minded. And also, if you say back to the little cabin scenario, you might get a propane electric refrigerator. It can convert, you can run it on electric or you can run it on LP. And that's nice to have because if the wind's not blowing and the batteries are down, you can run that refrigerator on LP. Also, liquid propane lighting is very nice. I love liquid propane lighting. I've lived in houses where you have dual electric lighting, and right next to it is the propane lighting. And a lot of times, it's very super efficient to have propane lighting. It creates a bit of heat, so it could even warm a room on a fall evening. But it's beautiful lighting, and you can turn it down. It kind of gives you that orange glow. You can read by it, but it's not like a light, which is white. And it's kind of relaxing. So I'm just giving you some experience, life experiences of my own. But living in a place where you are comfortable because you know you have your own energy and you have your own food growing there on your grow towers, you have your clean water, your family is there, you know that you have some chickens with eggs, you know, and maybe some goats that eat the table scraps. Goats are wonderful to eat table scraps. They'll provide some milk and things like that, but goats are the most useful thing about a goat is if you have an area of woods you want to clear out, put a couple goats in there, and they'll eat the bark off the trees. They'll eat everything. They'll eat everything in sight until you can finally tame an area. A friend, when I was young, bought 80 acres of land, and it was all forested. And he turned loose about 50 goats out there, and within the first year, they had eaten everything basically cleared that land for him. Plus, he had a lot of goats, which was a benefit too. So anyway, I'm just trying to give you a feel for what is possible. And a lot of people have a lot more ideas than I do. But having electricity in this day and age is important. And I frankly don't believe in moving back to the cave ages, but the way things are going, you have to be prepared to support yourself and your family with electricity, energy, food, water, clean water, etc. So I highly encourage people. You know, you don't have to necessarily just move to the country. Sometimes radical moves like that are not good either. But find yourself some land out in the country, maybe nearby the city where you're at or within a few hour drive. Maybe have a nice lake there, you know. That's always a benefit for water. If you can have one of my filter systems, you can filter the water from that lake and it'll be just like it came out of the purest deep water well, and you know, so you have clean water or catchment off the roof, and that's always good. Also, that's a good source of water, although rainwater typically does not have any minerals in it, so that's why lake water or well water, there's a thing that a lot of people are not aware of that I've used in the past. They still exist out there. It's called a sand point. And it's a way of having a shallow well. It's like a tube. It's kind of a strange-looking tube, and it's got a metal, thin metal casing with holes in it and then like a mesh screen in there. And what that does is it keeps the sand and grit out, but you just you put a cap on this thing. You screw it on because it's a – and then you can screw on some like 1.5 or 2-inch pipe on this thing. But you put this pounding cap on top of this and you pound it down into the ground. And then you put the next section of pipe on there and you pound that down into the ground. And this thing might only go down about 10 feet. But there's water there that will seep into that, and then you can pump that out as a source of water. It's called a sand point. Sand point. You can still get these, except you're probably not going to find it. Well, they might sell them in Menards or Home Depot or the big box stores, or your local hardware store might have them, or could special order them, called a sand point, another way of getting water. So at any rate, what I'm encouraging people to do is have your place out in the country where you can go and set it up where you have independent energy, you've got refrigeration, maybe a little freezer. That's always good, a little freezer. They're very efficient today. And now they've got freezers that can be a refrigerator or a freezer. So you can set the you can set it to not so cold or cold on the refrigeration side and then flip it over, and it will be a freezer, and you can go bring those things down to deep freeze. So very nice and very inexpensive. That would be a good option if you're just going to have one thing out at the cabin, and then make ice and put the ice in the cooler, etc. That's another option. But here's my advice. Start out with what you can afford. Don't go broke over your initial investment, because you're going to, as you build up your place out in the country, it's always nice to be near a lake. And I want to caution people also, especially with little kids, beware of rivers and creeks. A nice little creek that looks nice in the fall, little babbling brook, can turn into a raging torrent in the springtime. Very dangerous for little kids. So just some advice from an elderly person rivers and creeks are not good for dogs and animals and kids. And even adults, people have slipped in the fall, or in the springtime, the dirt is not as stable as it is in the summer and fall. And walking along the edge of a running creek or river, you can slip and slide in. Not good. So anyway, I tell people avoid creeks and washes and rivers as something next to your cabin or house. They're nice when they're nice. But if it really rains, or you get this big fast melt in the springtime, they can turn into a raging torrent and very dangerous. But anyway, just a few words of advice. And plus, the tranquility that it brings. Here's something that kids in the city, this is why I believe there's a lot of problems with kids in the city, is that they don't have contact with nature. Nature, when you go into it, things are random. They're not perfectly, all the trees are not perfectly in a row. All of the, the grass is not mowed perfectly. There are rocks that you have to walk around. You know, there's something about a city where all of the walls are straight and square, and, everybody wears a suit, and everybody, eats at a restaurant, or you go to the grocery store, and nothing looks like real food. It's all in boxes and cans. And there's something about having, like, going back to nature and being in a natural environment where you are, the things are kind of random. They're different. You know, every tree is different. You're living like in this world the way I believe man really should have lived. And you go back in real ancient history, and there was the land island continent of Lemuria, which went under allegedly about the same time as Atlantis. Atlantis was this kind of like United States kind of place with military and advanced technology and all of this. But Lemuria, those people lived off the land. They had cultured their land so that it produced the food, and they really didn't work hard. And they spent a lot of their time with social communications. They had advanced communication between people. And they developed those other sides of social skills, which just have been totally disappeared today. You know, so getting out into the country is beneficial for, take the dog, the cat, the kids, and go out to the countryside and spend the summer. Live out there, learn how to live there, raise a garden, have a big garden, as big as you can manage, and plant there, and then take the seeds and save your seeds. It's just like, for example, a head of ear of corn. one ear of corn is enough seed to provide you with the entire corn for the next planting, you know, 200 to 300 seeds in a small garden. And then the same with your squash, your, you know, that type of thing. I understand that the seed stores are really booked up and they're just shutting down. They've got so many orders. And so people are doing what I'm saying here. It's not like I'm giving you advice. Many people out there are already doing this. What I'm telling you is that you need independent power. And whether you're the smallest person with just a little portable generator and a couple batteries and an inverter, or add to that, say, a 1 kilowatt wind system. Like I say, forget about solar. Solar is a waste of money. It's not going to provide you with decent power. It's you might feel good about it, but it's not going to provide you with power. And for the amount of money you're going to spend, wind is going to provide you with lots more energy, lots and lots more. But at any rate, and then for the people that have a bigger operation, you know, get a bigger wind system and water filtration, and everybody should have a greenhouse. I was talking about having a garden, have an outdoor garden, but that's one season. Now your greenhouse, or a greenhouse even better, attached to the house. I know some people that are doing that. They're building their greenhouse. In fact, somebody sent me a video. Very nice video. An elderly man built his house. It was like an A-frame. And very interesting, as the roof came down on the A-frame, it continued out as a greenhouse. So he could walk around his house inside a greenhouse, and then coming off one end of the house was a great big greenhouse that could be operated probably four season, because he had orange trees growing in there. He had a four-season greenhouse, and he had geothermal heating. And then in the summertime, geothermal cooling. But a beautiful big greenhouse, and just a plastic sheeting covering on this, like a hoop greenhouse, and maybe 100 feet long. This guy had a major operation going there. But he was raising tropical plants and oranges and things like that in his greenhouse, and he lived in a cold climate. So that's what I'm talking about, build an ecological house. And, I've always thought that too, just as a thought, why not in the cold climates build almost a dome over the house? You would save so much heat that you could afford to build this, and then, you know, you would have an area around your house that would be nice and warm year round. Anyway, but out in the country, having one side of the house that is a long extended greenhouse, and then with the grow towers in there, the beauty of the grow towers is that they have, in the area that you would grow a head of lettuce, you can grow 35 heads of lettuce and tomatoes. Recently, I've been getting a lot of tomatoes, cherry tomatoes and mini tomatoes, off of two plants on my grow towers. And they produce every day so much that I'm giving it away. I mean, here, take these oranges. I mean, it's a kind of a half a bucket a day of I'm sorry, not oranges, tomatoes. And they're delicious. They're, you know, and they're organic. And one of those little tomatoes has probably 30 seeds in it. And one of those seeds would produce one plant that would produce all the tomatoes you can eat and give away. And then cucumbers the same, or lettuce, or those mini greens. That's the one beautiful thing about the towers also, is they come with what they call microgreens. So these are little green plants that provide you with a lot of really good food value. And you put them on your salad, a few of them or something, and you know, you can have all of your typical spices growing there. Three towers would be a really good system. And then lighting, if you're in any place in the United States, you're going to need lighting for your grow towers. And of course, there you get the lighting from the wind system. So once you get your system set up, it's producing food, clean water, energy. You have your lighting. You have your backup system. A 1,000-gallon propane tank that provides some excess heating in the winter time for those really cold nights. It can provide the backup generator, so you have 24/7 electricity. If there's no wind and the batteries are low, you still have electricity. And like I said, you try and spec out the electric energy system so you have 95% of your energy over the course of a year. And 5% of it, okay, you get that from the generator, which runs a little bit. Okay, that's your system. And you can go down to something really small. You can go up to something really big, depending on your operation. And I'm glad I have this opportunity to talk to people. Even if you're not going to do this, talk to other people who are doing this. But I would encourage everybody to find that independent place, that place out in the country and, you know, a little kind of piece of paradise, as they call it. And it's also the place that you might have to go to someday to just get away from the crazies. I don't know how else to put it, but the crazies, you know, in a place just far enough away. My recommendation, too, is at least far enough away from any major metropolitan areas, say a population 750,000 people or more. Get at least quite a ways away, because those people, if all of a sudden one day the power goes out and the curtain comes down, those people are not going to get very far. Just get back on a country road someplace and, you know, off on your little piece of paradise. You'll know it when you see it. And, spend some money, get a place you can afford, and then have some money that you can put into, electricity, and also have internet. You know, the internet will probably be around, some place you can go to. Telecommunications, there's a lot of good ways. If you have a phone, for example, I always carry with me my cell phone that has ten, it's a router that has Wi-Fi for 10 devices. Anyway, so you can have internet no matter where you go or out at your place in the country without any extra expense per month. I'm running out of time here, so go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. Go to all the subpages that are listed at the top, and just take hold of your life and you'll be a lot happier. Believe me, you will be a lot happier. Once again, the webpage, jmccsci.com. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.